Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome, everyone, to Manufacturing Talk Radio. I am Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. And in a minute, we're going to have our guest join us, who is Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business from the Institute for Supply Management, with some upbeat news. And Lou and I are kind of excited about other upbeat news. You hear from the mainstream media that you all ought to be jumping off a cliff. A recession is coming. The tariffs will kill you. Don't listen to it quite so close, huh, Lou? I think it's better than that.
Well, I'm excited considering the ISM report for manufacturing was a bit of a drink the poison report. I think Anthony is going to have a little better news for us on a couple of accounts. So why don't we get right to it and let's do the intro and we'll see what the numbers look like.
Well, Anthony, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're excited to hear what you have to report. Why don't you give our audience the overview? And, of course, Happy New Year to you and all those at ISM.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you and the listeners. And this month's report, as we see, the composite index did come down a bit, 3.1 percentage points to 57.6, down from a very strong reading of 60.7. It's a little bit of a pullback, a bit of cooling off for the non-manufacturing sector, but keeping in mind that anything above 50 is positive, and we're measuring the rate of growth month to month. So when we look at the four indexes that make up the composite, business activity at 59.9, granted it's down 5.3 percentage points, but still a strong reading just under the 60 percentile mark. New orders, 62.7. That is a leading indicator that tells us what's in the pipeline at 62.7. That's up 0.2 percentage points. And the last index that, the third index is 56.3 for employment. We had a very good jobs report on Friday. This is down 2.1 percentage points, but part of that has to do with the available employment resources, which is still a challenge for this sector, this very labor-intensive sector. And deliveries slower, if you can get your head around that, 51.5,
right.
Down 5 percentage points. And that correlates directly to what our respondents are saying about there has been a lessening of capacity constraint in the non-manufacturing sector. So we're seeing that not only in the supplier deliveries slowing not as quickly. There's been a burn off a little bit of inventory, and our backlog has gone down. So overall, we have to keep in mind that, again, this report at 57.6 is lower than what most mainstream media were looking at as far as expectations for this report, but still 57.6 is a strong reading for the non-manufacturing sector. We had 16 of the 18 industries reflecting growth. One was unchanged. The only industry reflecting contraction was mining.
A matter of fact, I'm just bringing out a point about that because I just got a breaking news across the screen here that there have been more coal mines shut down since Trump has taken office than before. So that fits into your mining sector, and it looks like coal is going the way of the buffalo.
Yeah, mining was interesting industry in the sense that when we came out of the recession, mining was that one industry of, there were a few, but that specifically was dragging, and it was keeping the entire sector back as far as when we had 16, 17 of the 18 industries for a period of well over a year, it was always mining. Then about a year and a half ago, mining kind of came out of the doldrums and was showing expansion month to month for quite some time. And then it's just the last few months to your point that we're seeing this pullback in the mining industry.
Well, I guess they're going to have to find a better way to have cleaner coal to bring that back.
That'll be certainly challenging to do. Well, Anthony, I think that 57.6 is that great that we should have horns and whistles in the background, because it's 7.6% above 50, which is your expansion area. What are your respondents saying out there?
Well, overall, they're more than optimistic about the business conditions for the non-manufacturing sector, mostly optimistic, I should say. There's still concerns as it relates to geopolitical trade tariffs, trade war, you know, the global economy, just things in general as far as, you know, the government shutdown hasn't yet creeped into impacting the report yet. It'd be interesting to see what next month brings if we don't have a resolution there. But overall, the respondents are mostly positive about the business conditions, and we're seeing things such as what their concerns are, like tariffs I mentioned, the trade dispute with China, higher mortgage rates, higher home prices, stagnant wage growth, labor shortages, and some higher material costs. And we touched on the pricing a little bit. The pricing index came down 6.7 percentage points from the 64.3 to 57.6. And that's correlated to mostly the price of oil, because fuel and fuel-related is such a big impact for this sector, as I've mentioned on the show previously, with the reliance on overland trucking for remote, disparate locations.
I happen to notice, speaking about price of oil, I noticed, where was I, in Florida, that the gas in Florida is at $2.04 a gallon for regular. Here in New Jersey, we're averaging around $2.35 a gallon. So it's really all over the lot, all over the country. But overall, it's come down a lot as a result of the oil prices, as you stated.
Even out where I'm in, in the country called California, prices are still quite high.
What is the gas out in California?
Well, I know for me and my, I have to use the higher octane for my vehicle. And I'm paying, you know, in the mid $3 range still for gas out here.
Really? You must be driving one of those huge SUVs with the monster tires.
Not quite ready for the the stadium on Saturdays, but yeah, you're not too far removed from that.
So, Anthony, in terms of transportation, that's always a challenge for your industry segment, because so much of what happens in your industry segment has that middle piece that moves by truck. Has that backed off any? You and I have talked about it for the last year and a half as being a constraint. Has it improved any with getting more drivers, getting more rigs on the road?
Not so much from that perspective. The capacity constraint has lessened, but it's more about the actual demand and volume. And it looks to appears to be a burn off of some inventory. We've seen the inventory index drop from 57.5. It went down 6 percentage points to 51.5 as far as rate of growth month to month. And that tells me that there's been some burn off on inventory. So that, coupled with just the waning demand, we're seeing the backlogs drop as well as the supplier deliveries drop. Doesn't mean we have the available resources. There's still companies out there trying to recruit drivers, signing bonuses, all kinds of things to incent them to try and look at that as a career path and fill the glut of, I shouldn't say the glut, but fill the void as it relates to drivers and having trucks on the road.
Okay. Well, thanks. The business activity that rolled up this month to 59.9, last month to 65.2. What is causing the lesser roll-up, we'll call it? I hate to call it a decline because it's still way above 50. What industries seem to be slowing a bit?
Well, when you look at the business activity, and keep in mind it's a timing issue as well, because there's always that buildup going into the holiday season. So you're going to see, I think what we're seeing is a little bit of waning a month ahead of time, because we've typically had some decent Decembers the past few years. And as it related to business activity, we're still showing most of the industries. There were 11 industries that had positive growth on the business activity. It's just things such as, and we had a strong retail season, if you think about that. Retail was the number two industry for business activity for the month of December. So to answer the question, I think that at 57.6, we're still strong for the composite. The business activity, 59.9, just under that 60 percentile, as I mentioned earlier. It's still a strong reading, very strong reading month to month. It's just that it's come down a bit in December. I always like to see what a trend makes. January is typically a month that it's like the cusp. It's either going to slow down a little bit or move sideways, and then February is what I feel is the pivotal month that gives you an indication of what direction things will be going. And all indications are, based on the leading indexes for this report, that we're not going to see, we've had the cooling off, which is good. It's not a bad thing. We don't want to have an overheating situation here. But what I look at is that, what's a trend make? So what does 3 or 4 months look like? How are we moving? Is it sideways, up or down? I think that we give it some time, see what gets settled from what's going on with the trade dispute, the government shutdown. We've had a slowing in the global economy as well. So there's many variables in play right now. But overall, the U.S. economy still looks very strong from this perspective.
I think it's important to state for our listeners that over 60 is a very high number and typically is not a sustainable range for the ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing to remain that high. Am I correct on that?
You are absolutely correct, Lou. That is rarefied air. That's high altitude when you're over 60 like that. And so to be in a high 50 range is still very good, because that bar moves on a month-to-month basis. You're measuring the rate of change on a month-to-month basis. So it's very hard to keep that kind of rate going.
It's nice.
It's certainly.
I mean, I don't want to sound overly optimistic or try and, you know, slant it in any one direction, but you have to look at it from a pragmatic perspective that we still have good growth. And the challenge is, with some of the uncertainty that's out there, people tend to get cautious. Companies tend to get cautious. In past months' reports, we've had certain respondents say that their companies have been putting their strategic plans on hold or pulling back a little bit and holding back on their capital expenditures, just on a wait-and-see approach, kind of want to keep things safe and you know, I like the cliche of keeping your powder dry in a storm.
Right, no doubt. Anthony, I know that the tariffs weigh heavy on everyone's mind in both manufacturing and non-manufacturing. You and Lou were having kind of an interesting conversation before we went live. I wonder if we can share a bit about what's happening in the tariff realm, the intellectual property realm, the negotiations with China issue as it relates to overall in your sector as well.
Well, from what I'm reading about and information I'm seeing come across is that the trade negotiations in Beijing are moving along. They're proceeding positively. There is also some promises on the table to reform IP theft, intellectual property theft, and that you know, we might see some resolution prior to the end of the ceasefire or hold on implementing any additional tariffs or increasing the rates. So we might see something positive come out of here in the next, next month, month and a half. So hopefully, not to be overly optimistic, I think that's what all indications are. Because as we've talked about previously on the show, we have such a trade deficit with China, and if we're feeling it, you know they're feeling it. And as much as they want to open up alternate sources of supply for what they are exporting from China, as we know, as we tried to move supply chains, it's not an overnight thing. It takes time to cultivate that. It takes time to really do that. And once it's done, it's really hard to reverse. But again, we have, a 3-to-1, 4-to-1 ratio as far as trade, export versus import. So it's in China's best interest as well to get a good positive resolution out of this.
Not to be a party pooper, but the end of the ceasefire, as you put it, is February 1st. That's the end of the 90-day truce. So I'm hoping to hear more optimistic views about when this negotiation may unfold and take effect.
That's a great question, great point. And I think that, again, it's I'm sure there's some, when you look at it from both perspectives, that it's, again, China's best interest to get something settled as well, because we don't want another round of tariffs being implemented if we can avoid it. And we just look forward to some kind of accord being reached here.
From your lips, we look forward to that.
Yeah, I think overall, when you think about everything that's going on all at the same time, between the shutdown, between this, what's going on in Europe and the rest of the world, there's a lot of balls up in the air right now. And yet we're still reflecting a good U.S. economy at this point in time. And I know there's been a lot of dialogue, and we talked about it briefly before the show, about a potential recessionary period at this juncture, and what we garnered from our respondents' comments from the semi-annual as well as the monthly reports leading up to this report, that 2019 is still going to be a good year. It may not be as strong as what we've seen in the past, but again, no signs of economic downturn going forward for the next 12 months.
As it relates to your point, all metals and forge, which is our main business, we probably have the largest backlog we've had in the last 2 years. So we've seen the benefit of 2018 with a strong promise for maybe not January, but February, March. So we're right alongside ISM on that.
Yeah, it's. I always believe that you will reach to a point where you want to be. And if we keep promoting any negative downturn terminology out there, it may, which like we're wishing it to come to fruition. I think the economy, where companies are today, the low unemployment rate, and again, I don't want to sound slighted in any one direction. I'm going off of what I see in the data, what our respondents are telling us, and I'm just transposing it and communicating it as to what we're being fed as far as the information.
Yeah, I think Lou and I have experienced over the last couple of decades that it's frequently the case that you hear the talk of recession and in the mainstream media, and then it comes to fruition because the mainstream media gets manufacturers nervous, it gets non-manufacturing nervous, it gets the consumer nervous. People start to hedge their bets, and they almost talk the recession into existence. And we fear that's what they're trying to do again now.
Well, people tend to hunker down and be cautious and not, especially after the last recessionary period we went through, where we had some optimism for so long. We had easy money out there. Lending requirements were much more looser, and it just propagated into, you know, you throw that in with the subprime loan debacle and everything else. It just it imploded very quickly, and it caught some people by surprise, and people don't want to be caught by surprise. And so they start getting, as you said, Tim, they start getting very cautious and locking things down. So consumer confidence was at an all-time high a few months back. It kind of waned again a little bit last month. But overall, when people are working, that's going to put dollars back into the economy.
So, Anthony, as we're coming up to the end of this segment, is there any other point that we have not covered that you would like to address?
Well, I think we've touched base on most everything. I think the key thing is trying to get some of these things settled prior to next month. Again, hopefully we get past this government shutdown and cooler heads will prevail in the negotiations, and that between that and as we discussed the trade dispute, if those things come to a resolution, that means that the economy will be, I think, right where we started, right back where we were in the last quarter of last year. Of 2018, so there's some really good potential out there for this, and time will tell.
Just to add one more point to your comments, again with checking with some of our resources, there are some companies who are reluctantly looking to move their manufacturing to Mexico because of the tariffs. And as a result, that means jobs will be lost, and those jobs won't come back. Unless, of course, this administration finds a way to punish and penalize the good American manufacturing companies who are trying to save themselves from financial harm. That being said, let's hope February 1st the tariffs will start to relieve and go backwards a bit. Tim?
Well, yep, you're right. And I think that I really truly hope that we see some manufacturing come back to the U.S. and that some of it and what we have today increases. And we've outsourced so much, offshored so much in the past couple of decades. If it's cost-effective, I'd like to see it come back.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Tim?
Well, Anthony, we thank you again for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. We always appreciate the expertise brought to us by the Institute for Supply Management.
Thanks very much for having me on the show.
We always love having you. And Tim, what do we have coming up with WHAM?
Actually, you may be more on top of women in manufacturing than I am, but they can always tune in at womenandmfg.com, which is where we host all of those episodes. And let's see, today is going to be the day before we launch our new show, Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman. That will post tomorrow at 2 p.m. for the first time.
Right.
So we've got that show launching. Lou, you've got your hands full of other shows.
Well, I don't know how I'm doing what I'm doing, but we have now 8 shows under development. And by the end of the first quarter, they should all be launched. We're going to have one or two this month, one or two in February. All relating to different aspects of manufacturing and women in manufacturing. So it's exciting putting this all together. I hope our engineer doesn't pull all of his hair out of what's left, and I'm getting a dirty look. Anyway, it is exciting. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on. So tune in, keep checking our websites and see what we're doing. It's manufacturing MFGTalkRadio.com and Women and AND Manufacturing.com so far. And we'll be notifying you of other email addresses and so on and so forth. So thanks for being on the show, Anthony. And we'll see how you fare with us next month.
And Lou, it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you again. And we'll talk to all of our listeners as we post shows throughout the coming hours and weeks. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Manufacturing Talk Radio again today.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.